Welcome to the Beer Blazers Podcast. This is episode number 14 for August 8th, 2016. What's in my beer? Recorded on location at Rock Yard Brewing Company in Castle Rock, Colorado. This is Beer Blazers. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Beer Blazers. I'm your host, Eric Johnson, and I'm joined today by Mr. Eric Beeler.
Yes, sir.
Once again, we're just the two of us today hanging out, having a little man chat, as it were.
Man chat.
Well, I don't know. It's a phrase. it's a phrase I'm going to use at this
All
point.
Right.
We're hanging out at the Rock Yard Brewing Company up in Castle Rock, Colorado. Great, great building. This place is just absolutely huge. It looks like an old lodge, actually.
Yeah, just I mean, really when you walk into this place, you think restaurant.
It's a brew pub, and it definitely is. It's a full menu.
It's a full-size restaurant.
We're kind of in a front room area. So they have a big projection screen. We're behind it, so I'm watching baseball in reverse as we sit here.
There's other TVs. I'm watching some baseball over here, too.
Yeah, and they've got a great, great big fireplace right in the middle. It's two-sided, so whether you're in the restaurant side or the bar side, there's a great little fireplace there. Just big, warm, welcoming kind of a place. It's really nice. And it's also got a great little bar. So if you just want to come in and grab a pint, that's very accessible. But if you want to bring... I brought the family here. You sit over in the restaurant.
Yeah, there's lots of families coming here just to eat.
And their menu, I mean, it's comprehensive. They got burgers. They got pizza. They have Mexican. You can get a burrito. So, yep. I mean, whatever you're hankering, you can come to the Rock Yard and probably check it out. They've got a little window
into a...
part of their little brew house corner here, so there's stuff you can check
decent
out there.
Size.
Yeah, we're gonna interview the brewmaster Jim Stinson coming up here in a little bit, and he's gonna tell us a little bit more about the place. So I don't want to steal too much of his thunder, but so we're gonna get our chat on for a little while before we move on. And one thing I just want to mention right off the top, and we're going to talk about this again with Jim because I want to get some more detail, is the beer festival these guys have coming up. It's the Rendezvous with the Rock Beer Festival. These guys host it. They get 25 to 30 breweries in here. It's Saturday, August 13th. It runs from about 12 to 5.
Sounds like an amazing...
Yeah,
little setup.
They have live music. They're going to have like games and fun. And apparently Castle Rock is doing some stuff that day too. So if you're in the area and you want a beer festival and you're hot and thirsty, and let's face it, Saturday, August 13th, you're going to be hot.
And
by extension,
thirsty.
Probably going to be thirsty.
Yeah.
Go check out the Rendezvous with the Rock Beer Festival. And for the lucky, lucky listeners that are keeping their ears peeled to the Beer Blazers, we have two. I'm holding them in my hand right now. Tickets 26 and 27. And it's a limited event, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't allow too many people because they want you to have access to the beer. Two of the people are going to be listeners of this show for free, thanks to Rock Yard Brewing. They gave us two of those. So
amazing.
We can...
Make sure you take advantage.
We can get you in the door. So we'll tell you a little bit later on how you can enter to win those tickets, but it's probably along the lines of liking and sharing something. So... keep your ears peeled.
So just do it for everything.
Right. Just like and share all the time, and you might win. We've given away some stuff from some great breweries around town. So keep listening. We like to give stuff away. Call in, by the way. Tell us why you think you want to go. Maybe we'll pick you. Yeah, just call our number. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head. I have to look at my phone real quick. 720-263-0337 is the number for our voicemail box.
Way to be.
Yeah. Call us. Tell us your stories. Let us know what's going down. So anyway, yeah, we're hanging out. We've got nine beers here that we're going to kind of go through.
Oh, yeah.
They've got, I mean, everything from a nice a light Pilsner-y beer. They've got some reds in here. We've got chili beer. We've got a nice stout and just lots of good stuff to try. So we're going to walk through and talk about those. One thing I do want to mention, though, before we get too far into it is they do have...
You making me wait?
No, you can go ahead and drink beer. I just wanted to mention...
I feel like you're making me wait.
No. Have something.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sip away. Sip away. These guys, and I love it when breweries do this. It always makes me feel pretty good about life. But they've got a couple beers on their menu. One is their bumper time ale, and this one, I'm trying to see what it says. It's a collaboration with the Firefighters Union, and they give a proceeds from that beer to the Colorado Pro Firefighters Foundation. So they helps out the families. Little your drinking money goes to help out the firefighters. They've also got one in memory of a fallen Marine, and they give money to the Marines on that one. That's their That's their Dutch classic American Pilsner. So you can give a little cash to the Marines by drinking a beer. And last but not least, they have the Silverback Pale Ale, and a portion of that goes to where is it? Proceeds benefit the
Mountain Gorilla
Conservation Fund. Yeah. So that one, you get a little money if you like to save the animals. So, you know, something for everybody.
You can feel good. That's what I'm saying.
You can have a couple beers and know that during that time, not only did you have a couple beers, you helped save a gorilla.
It's kind of impressive that they take proceeds from three of their beers.
Yes. And these aren't specialty. These aren't like one-off seasonal things.
They're on the menu
all the time. It's on the menu, so you can check it out. My wife is a huge fan of the Silverback Pale Ale because she's a save the animals kind of person. So that's an interesting one. And actually, the interesting thing about that is he said they brew it with grains of paradise, which is a rare spice that's actually found in gorillas' native habitat. So not only is it named after the gorilla and the gorillas get a little money,
you're really thinking about the brew.
You get to drink a little bit of the... Yeah, mm-hmm. So what goes into these beers isn't just something to make them sell and get you a little buzz. They really put some thought into how they make these things and what they put in. And in fact, it's a beautiful segue, because we're going to chat about stuff that you put in your beer.
Right.
And not weird stuff. In this case, what we're going to talk about is things you can do to flavor your beer. Like, all the beers start, obviously, we've talked about this in a couple episodes. I mean, you take malted barley, you soak it, you get the sugar out of it, you dump that into a kettle, you boil it, you throw some hops in, and at the end you ferment by letting the yeast eat the sugar.
Sounds so simple.
Yeah, it sounds very simple. And so, I mean, the primary tastes that you're going to get off of a pretty base beer, I mean, you're going to be able to taste the malt, so you're going to be able to taste the hops. So you're going to kind of get a sweet, malty, bready kind of flavor, and you're also going to get the IBUs and the bitter hop flavor, okay? So... But how do you vary? So what do you do to get from that to, say, an amber beer, which is more caramely, or a stout, which tends to be more roasty, chocolate stout, coffee stout? What do you do to get to those? And what do you do when you want to put something like fruit in your beer? There's some options there. So that's kind of what we're gonna address today.
Mm-hmm. And this goes to anyone who talks to me and says, hey, I like craft beers, and they go, beer is beer. And I go, well, that means wine is just grape juice, and grape juice is grape juice. So I don't understand what the big deal is. Everyone has a favorite, even if it's a crappy favorite.
Even if
not the best, as far as I'm concerned, you have a reason to like the taste you like.
Mm-hmm.
So what goes into that? What makes that?
Right. And some of what I want to cover is going to be kind of technical, but... I think whether you're a home brewer or whether you're just a beer lover, and it's good information so that you know what's going on and what you're tasting.
Yeah,
when you taste some of these things, and obviously you start with, so just the real quick overview, anything that like malted barley, okay, that stuff doesn't naturally, it's not natural sugar. If I were to take a handful of malted barley and throw it in my water and stir it up, I would not get sweet water. I'm not going to flavor my tea with that. It's not sweet.
Right.
It's a starch. Okay, so when you're brewing...
So you can make bread.
You can make bread. When you're brewing, anything that's a starch, what you have to do is soak it in water, and it actually breaks down the starch and releases the sugars. That's how you get the sugars out of the starch. So there are different kinds of sugars that are going to end up in your beer. The stuff that comes out of the barley, okay, that starch that you converted to sugar during the mashing process, is going to be what we call fermentable sugar. That means that when it gets into your fermenters, yeast will eat that sugar, make alcohol. But that also means that sugar doesn't come out in your final flavor, right? Because it's gone.
Right.
No more sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different ways you can add sugar. So let's sort of the simple thing, right? To go from, say, their wheat ale. Okay, that's got wheat in it. That's the adjunct they use there. But say from a light Pilsner beer to something like, what's this guy here? The Red Hawk Ale. This is more of a Scottish ale. A little bit redder, a little deeper color. You can use something like... It's usually a very lightly roasted barley. It's a Cara Pils is one that's out there, they're kind of a red malt, right? And which what those actually do is they break down and they give you a little bit of unfermentable sugar. They also are responsible for the color.
Okay,
right. So that's how you make a beer a little sweeter. It's one of the ways. So usually when you have a sweeter beer, and this is a typical beer, what you're tasting is a little unfermentable sugar from something like a Cara Pils, a very slightly roasted. Well, they're all roasted, but...
So does it matter how long you... So is it the length of formation that...
Fermentation?
Fermentation, sorry.
Formation.
Everyone getting formation.
Heck yeah.
And that determines how dry that's going to get? I mean, some of that. I mean, you think of the parallels to wine too. Is like dry wine versus wines that are a little sweeter.
Correct.
And a lot of that is how long do you let the process go on?
That's the deal. So if you, well, it's part of the deal, right? So if I put a lot of fermentable sugar in my beer,
yeah.
If I let the process finish, if I let the fermentation completely finish to where the yeast has had their fill and eaten all the sugar, I'm going to dry that beer out. And it's measured in gravity, right? So the specific gravity is high at the beginning, that's how much sugar is in your liquid, yeah. to low at the end. The lower the gravity is at the end, the closer you are to water, which would be one, no sugar, is a direct reflection on how sweet the beer is, uh-huh. right? The closer you are to that bottom line number, the drier, the less sweet the beer is going to be, the more you're going to pick up the hops, the more you're going to pick up any of the other taste of the beer. The higher you are, the further away from that, the sweeter things are going to be.
Right.
And you can do that in two ways. Like you said, one, cut the process off a little short, which typically is not what you want to do. You want to let your yeast do their thing.
Right.
So what most people do is they'll add unfermentable sugars in the form of adjuncts, and that can be malt that's going to break out and give you sugar that's not going to ferment. It could be actual sugar. Oh, not sugar, sorry. Sugar will be fermentable. But anything that you can put in there that doesn't get fermented, that leaves it a little sweeter. So that's how you can finish it sweeter.
Okay.
Now, if you want something like wheat, rice,
yeah.
Anything like that, again, we're talking starchy things. So you're going to have to mash them, right? Get the sugars out of them. And some of those things can be fermentable. Some aren't. I mean, you can look online. There's a couple great references, and I'll put a link up to a list of like all the beer adjuncts and stuff you can throw in beer and what they do and what there's corn.
Yeah.
Corn's a big popular one. So those are the ways you sweeten up.
And this is not unlike, you know, maybe the whiskey process or taking something that's basically a mash and turning it into different types of hard liquor.
Right.
One could be a whiskey, one could be a vodka, one could be a gin. It depends on where you go.
Absolutely. And if you want something really sweet, you can use, you know, like stouts tend to be roasty or sweeter. And the interesting thing is you get less fermentable sugar the more you roast the barley, right? And it's similar to coffee. And a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people that are like, oh, I need a coffee. I need something strong. Give me the dark black, like uber roasted coffee. It actually has less caffeine.
Yeah.
The lightly roasted beans have more caffeine. And it's kind of similar with this. A lightly roasted barley is going to be able to produce more, your malt's going to produce more sugar than the real roasted ones. You're going to get less sugar out of them. But what you get from those, and this is another change, another flavor profile you can add to your beer, you get dark, you get roasted. That's where you can get the coffee flavor, the chocolate flavor.
Yeah.
That's where you get that from those more roasted beans. So, but yeah, no, it's really, and that's just playing with just malt and how you ferment, right? So there's other things you can put in your beer too. I mean, you can add sugar to get more alcohol content.
Yeah.
You can add fruits to get flavor, to get alcohol content, because there's some sugar in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's definitely places you can do it. And we'll talk about fruit specifically, because there's some interesting things you can do with fruit once you start getting into brewing. And I'll save fruit for the next segment, because there's a laundry list of things I want to talk about there.
Okay.
So we'll kind of hold off on the fruit. But anyway... but yeah, no, depending on what you put in is what you get. And that's how you tweak and make these beers taste differently. And not only that, and we've talked about this in other shows, depending on how long you boil, you can get more or less sweet. Because here's the deal. When you first take your mash, it's this uber sweet, high gravity thing. And then you put that in your kettle, and then you do, it's called the sparge, where you kind of wash away the residual sugars, and then your gravity usually gets a little lower because you've watered it down,
mm-hmm.
okay? But then you're going to boil, and depending on how long you boil, typically it's an hour-ish. There are beers out there that are 90 minutes. There are beers you do for 2 hours on the boil. But anyone who cooks, what happens when you boil?
It evaporates the water.
And when yeah. you evaporate the water out of the beer...
More concentrate.
You leave the sugar.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one way that you get... You're going to have less liquid, obviously as that happens, but you're going to have higher sugar content.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's all fermentable, that translates to higher alcohol content. And they do a couple beers here that are not only high alcohol, but still sweet. And, you know, so you have to accomplish that by, you know, you got to get something in there. It's a little unfermentable. Otherwise, you're going to have this uber... dried out high alcohol beer with no sweetness. And you know, what you want is
it's
that
it's all about the balance, right?
It's all about the balance. What you want is that nice 10% beer that you can drink and not know it was 10%, like the dangerous beer. So that's what a lot of people are after, right? So, not always. I mean, you're after the flavor at the end of the day, but why not?
Get
why
yourself not? A bus pass when you're doing that.
You said that, and what song is that that popped into my head?
What?
How we gonna get around on your bus pass? You got a lot of parada. Anyway, it's a whole...
Oh, no, that's Jay-Z.
Yeah. That just popped into my head.
It's Jay-Z song.
I think we just fair used the heck out of that one.
Okay.
So we have to move on. We're not allowed to
let's
do
not,
it
anymore. Let's not cross Jay-Z.
I mean, you know, he seems like a cool guy. He could come on the show. Jay-Z, if you're out there, hashtag Jay-Z. I don't know if that's his hashtag.
Yeah.
He doesn't own a hashtag. See, I'm showing that Twitter is not something I'm great with, but...
You are terrible at Twitter.
His Twitter handle. His hashtag I own. I just hashtag Jay-Z. If you want to hear more about Jay-Z and the Beer Blazers, then tweet us at Beer Blazers. Hashtag Jay-Z. See, I did it right there, right? All right, we're going to stretch our legs for just a second, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about fruit in the beer. We'll be right back. Stick around. All right, joining us now is Jim Stinson, the brewmaster here at Rock Yard Brewery. Jim, thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
And thanks for having us in. This is a great little space you guys have got here. I've always enjoyed it, so it's fun to finally come and do a show here.
Oh, good.
You guys have been around now since 99, is that right?
Yes, 17 years now.
Wow, 17 years. Did it start in this building, or was it a smaller facility that...
No, this was the original building.
Okay.
Wow.
So kind of a ambitious sort of beginning for compared to some of the small breweries we see.
Right, they had plans for it. So.
Any plans for any expansion, or do you think you guys are staying? I know you're doing some stuff with new distribution, but I don't know if you're planning on expanding the space here.
No, this will be the only one.
Okay. Yep. And you're doing, so you guys have just recently changed over to a new distributor. So you guys are trying to get your beer more out there in the state. Is that right?
Right. We've self-distributed for a while. We went with a distributor for a short period. That didn't work out. So we took it back over again for about 2 years. And we've just signed again a new partnership with New Age Beverage.
Okay. So any out-of-states, or is it all going to be in-state
for
now?
All in-state for now.
Okay.
What are the challenges of the distribution game? I mean, what?
How long is this show?
Yeah. Give us an idea. No, I mean, you know, this is behind the scenes baseball. I get it, but what goes into trying to distribute your own beer?
Well, mostly logistics.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you can make it, they will come, and that's what the pub is about. But getting it into stores, you know, there's two big aspects of it. One is selling it,
mm-hmm.
you know, convincing a liquor store to partner with you to get your beer into customers' hands. And then I guess the second part is getting customers to come and empty the shelves.
Right.
And the third part is getting it there every week on time, you know, and cold and in one piece. And so that logistics, you know, that's a truck, that's a driver, that's gas money, that's insurance,
uh-huh.
you know, that's maintenance. We just blew an engine on a truck, you know. So,
oh, right.
We didn't schedule that for this year, so that's coming out of my budget. But so there's a lot of logistical and just overhead and things like that.
So coming from kind of more of the early days of the craft brewery scene, you know, right now we take for granted there's so much craft beer out there right now, and it's probably a little easier to have that conversation with the liquor store to say, hey, I've got a craft brew. Back in 99, 2000, what was that conversation like where you said, I'd like to take some space from you know, life. This giant distributor and maybe throw my product in there, just a little space. What was that like?
Well, believe it or not, here in Colorado, it's not that bad because of the current structure, which, as you know, we're fighting over with the the corporate grocery stores. But, you know, in Colorado, it's always been a mom and pop game.
Yeah.
So, you know, here in Castle Rock, small little Castle Rock, we have, I think back then it was 7 liquor stores in town and 1 brewery.
Wow.
And they're all, you know, mom and pop local. In fact, the first liquor store that took us was the one that my wife shopped at all the time. And she sold the first case of beer. You know, hey, my husband makes beer. What do you think? You know, and so that, you know, so they were our first customer, and they're still a customer now. But back then it wasn't too bad because we, you know, we weren't saturated. We're, right now we've got over 340 breweries in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, you know, 50, 60 breweries, it was a lot easier to come in and say, hey, you know, can I get some craft beer on the shelf?
Right.
You know, it wasn't too bad. It was, we were very quickly able to get up to 150 stores.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, impressive. Nowadays, it's more the opposite fight, right? There's so many craft breweries, and so many people want that shelf space. And
you know, I get a 60, 70 miles away from here, and I'm not local anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's gone hyper local
in the northern territories. Yes. Where Boulder, Longmont, Fort Collins, they have so many breweries. You know, we roll in and they go, "Are you from here?" Then we don't want your beer.
Yeah.
And there's, are you guys still, I know there's another one that's under construction. It's supposed to open up here pretty soon, but I think you guys are still the only one brewing up in Castle Rock at the moment, right?
We have three brewers in Castle Rock.
Oh, you do have three. Yeah. Oh,
so
wow.
Castle Rock is now the brewing mecca of Central Colorado.
All right. Yep. More than monument.
So there's Rock Hill Brewing Company, 105 West Brewing Company, which is an extension off of our local homebrew shop.
Okay.
And then Castle Rock Beer Company opened up on the other side of town from them. It's a small English style pub.
Oh, okay. That's kind of interesting. I didn't know those guys had opened up. I was going to forgot what I was going to ask. Oh, yeah. So do you guys mostly do bombers, or you get 6-packs, 12-packs? I mean,
we're 6-packs and bombers.
Okay. 6-packs cans or bottles?
Bottles.
Okay. Okay. And you do all that on site, I imagine. You don't have.
Right. Well, we behind the building here, which you don't see, is our 25-barrel brew house.
Okay.
In a 7,200 square foot warehouse. So we started it all here in the pub, you know, on the counter with a hand bottler, you know, in the back of my old beat up pickup truck. And now we have a 25-barrel production facility that's capable of 7,800 barrels a year right now.
Wow, that's a lot of beer. Did you get into this? I mean, were you a home brewer that wanted to get into this kind of a setup, or were you brewing someplace else before Rock Hill came along?
I got that fateful homebrew kit for Christmas in the Chicago area.
Yeah, many wives regret that.
Yes,
I know.
Yeah, this is my sister.
Oh, okay.
So, so that started it. Homebrewed for about 2 years, and then you know, there was a local pub opening up down the street. And I was making a transition out of the military, and so just started out as keg boy, worked my way up. My wife's a native of Colorado, so when the time expired for the free move, we came back here to Colorado. She cashed in her chips.
That's a lot of people's stories, right?
Yeah. So we came back here, and I floated around Colorado, a couple different breweries. I brewed in Pueblo Club.
Okay.
Alcatraz Brewing up at Park Meadows Mall. And then this is my second time here. I've been here for 14 years now.
Okay. So you obviously you didn't just do the, I was a home brewer for 6 years and 2 days later decided to start a brewery.
No, you
worked at some breweries and really got the experience doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there when you're brewing, or I guess enjoying beer, do you have a favorite style that you like, or do you just sort of enjoy all of it? I mean, I know you have to some extent you have to appreciate them all, right? But
sure, I like the red beers. I like ambers, reds. The beer that I usually have in my fridge at home is our Scottish ale, the Red Hawk.
Okay,
I'm a big fan of German lagers, alt beers, things like that. So.
Your travels influence that at all from the military?
Not so much from the military. I mean, when I was in the military, of course, overseas, we drank, you know, local beer. So we went around the Mediterranean and things like that and had, you know, good European beer. I was also over in Korea and Japan, so we had that beer. Then I always came home and went to Bud Light.
Right.
You know?
kind of what it was, right?
I knew the difference, but I just didn't want to pay for Heineken or any of that other stuff. But probably during that period, I was stationed in Hawaii, and Primo, you know, was the craft beer, and wasn't a huge choice.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I've always cooked, make my own bread, lasagna, spaghetti sauce, dabble in the kitchen. So homebrewing was like,
it makes sense.
Cooking something else. So once I started making my own beer, you know, you start to make what you like. And what your wife likes you to brew after you clean up the kitchen.
Yeah. One too many times you boil the kettle over in the kitchen and you quickly get it out to the garage,
That's right.
So one of the things we're actually talking about in the show is, you know, different adjuncts and different things, fruit you can put in beer to sort of, you know, give it a different flavor. Because obviously you can only do so much with malt and hops. I mean, you can do a lot with malt and hops. But what are some of your favorite things to sort of add a little flavor to a beer that are kind of off the beaten path there?
Boy, I just, you know, I really play with the caramelized malts and the dark malts.
Okay.
I got my younger guys in here to play with lemongrass and fruit and pie filling and jelly donuts and and things like that. But I think there's a lot you can do, you know, with hops and creative creative mashing.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what my secret is, but I seem to be able to make really big beers that are really smooth.
Okay.
Like that 12%er, you don't know about it for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And those are,
it's too late.
Yeah. Those could be, you're halfway back to Colorado Springs. Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't have hit that one.
Yeah.
So do you feel, I mean, I haven't looked at all the gravities on these, but do they finish pretty sweet? I mean, you don't dry them all out too bad. I haven't tasted anything that
way. I mean, typically our house beers, we're keeping around that 5% range. I'd like you to drink a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just one. We are parked next to the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
if they're on their way back from an 8-hour shift, you're safe.
Yeah. Yeah. When they're going out and they're all revved up and ready to go.
Yeah. But most of my beers, you know, I lean towards a balanced beer.
Right.
We do a couple of hoppy offerings. We have a couple that are, you know, our Helles is about the malt.
Okay.
No hop presence in there at all. But most of them had just a little bit of a drying finish to them.
Okay.
You know, I really like our IPA is a little bit different. I build a little malt body into it.
Okay.
So it's not just all hops, but it definitely leaves you, you know, knowing that you just chewed on some stuff.
Okay.
But for the most part, we're finishing, you know, in that light to medium bodied range.
Okay. Okay. So you leave a little sugar in that IPA to keep it a little sweeter then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, and I love IPAs. I mean, I like a lot of craft beer drinkers. I can be a hophead at times, but yeah, sometimes it's too much one way.
Yeah. Some days it goes down like water. And other days it's like, no.
That's enough of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, have you swung the pendulum the other way and started doing things like, because there's things like the apricot IPAs now, and they're overdoing it, I think, to where they're really sweet and hoppy.
Yeah.
Do you guys do anything like that's on that spectrum?
We've done some stuff with nuts and honey and a little bit of fruit, you know, some raspberry things here and there.
Okay.
But I like it to be beer first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not cherry Kool-Aid that happens to have some beer alcohol in it. I like it to be a beer where that flavor comes up and you go, ooh, what is that? Where'd that come from? You know, so nice subtle flavor, subtle distinctions, and complexity. I like that complexity is that as that beer warms up, you start to go, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't taste this before. What is that?
Okay.
And then it's too late. You have to get another glass.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, now you need to get the glass, let it warm up a little bit.
Yeah, those subtle flavors that just come out when you work the ingredients just right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, everyone's using similar ingredients, but what you do with them brings out those different flavors. I don't know. You equate them with something else. You get those coffees, mm-hmm. notes, and whatever you may want to describe it with. But
And I always tell people because we, you know, I do a beer school for all the staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they sit down with me and do a beer training. We taste all the beers, and I have them go through all the flavors. And I've done beer school and training for, you know, other people that want to come in and do a more complex tour and something like that. And I always tell people, don't try to find the 2-nonyl glycol and the isoamyl acetate. Beer is food.
Right.
It tastes like what your grandma's kitchen smelled like when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's bananas, there's whipped cream,
there's
oranges, there's Texas ruby red grapefruit, you know, there's unsweetened chocolate, circus peanuts. You know, there's all kinds of those types of food flavors that are in beer. And when you start to think of them in those terms, your perception of the beer changes. You know, that, hey, this is a food, and it goes really good with, you know, this or that, not just, oh, I need something wet and alcoholic to wash my mouth out with.
Right. And in fact, there have been, I did an event a month or so ago up in Denver, Brewfru happened up there, and the beer food pairing events are just all over. And it's really amazing how, you know, you can, like a wine, you can pair all the different beers with all the different flavors of food. And a lot of people don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
They think of it as something I can have two of and move on and eat it with chicken wings. And no, they compare these with some fine foods, some good foods.
We have an advantage here being a brew pub is that I have my built-in food producers.
Yes.
They don't like that term. We're the brewery that makes its own food. But the chef back there is really excited. He really likes to make food and make fun stuff. Every Friday we do a deviation. You know, everybody calls it a one-off, so we call ours a deviation because we deviate from the menu. So we put out a deviation beer, a little 5 or 10 gallon batch, and the chef gets a taste of it on Wednesday and comes up with a matched appetizer. So every week on Friday at 4 o'clock, we have a beer pairing of an appetizer with a beer that's, you know, coming out of the back corner somewhere. In the quarterly, we do beer dinners where chef goes completely off the menu. We lay down the white linen, staff right. it up, make it look real nice, and we get bison remoulade and alligator, and you know it's all kinds of fun, different food with a plethora of different right. flavors, uh-huh. and they're all yeah. made with the beer and then paired with the beer.
Absolutely wow. fantastic. Well, and you know, you just have to think about it the way people have thought about wine for hundreds of years. You know,
right?
It's like it goes with food. You don't necessarily just drink it alone.
Right. Well, but you can.
Yeah. You can. No, you can.
So speaking of tasting beer, you guys have the Rendezvous at the Rock coming up here the middle of August.
Yeah. It's our fourth go around for our beer festival.
Okay. And you've got how many breweries coming in for that? I think the site said something 25 to 30.
We try to keep it around 25 or 30. So we don't want to get real big.
Okay.
We want to keep it about the beer.
Okay.
We limit the attendance so that you don't have, 20-minute lines to get an ounce of beer. You know, we want this to be about the beer and an opportunity for the brewers to meet the public and for the public to spend some time talking with the brewers.
Fantastic.
So it's nice and intimate. Again, about 25 breweries and about 500 people. We have a live band. We have goats and a chicken.
Okay.
Goats and a chicken. Well, yeah, so. that convinces me. I'm going.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and remember, we've got two tickets to give away to that, everybody. So keep listening. I'll make sure you know how to enter to get those bad boys. I'm sitting right here. Hopefully somebody wins them so we don't have to keep them. That'd be a shame. Well, yeah, definitely. If you're listening, come check that out. It looks like it's going to be a good time. And that's Saturday, August 13th, 12 to 1. You can get tickets online and here
yes.
in the brewery. So,
well, 12 to 1 for VIP, 1 to 5 for general admission.
Ah, there you go.
It goes a while.
Yeah, you get a few hours of beer in you. So. Yeah.
Well, Jim, the other thing on that is we didn't find that out till later, is that the town of Castle Rock has also planned a all-day sporting event. So they've got runners and disc, all kinds of sporting things going on all day long.
Oh, really?
And then I think the third annual Matty Palooza is, if you're from around this area, you probably know what the Matty Palooza is, but that's also that night. So, rather than wow. fight and cancel big and day. Change, we just said, hey, let's all... This is the day yeah. to come to Castle Rock.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Celebrate the whole city
yeah,
for
so you
for
can
a
watch
day.
Some bike races, some running races, some disc golf, come out, sample some beer for a couple hours, and then wind down the evening at the Matty Palooza. We have 5 hotels, right around us.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're not familiar with Castle Rock, by the way, and you want to plan a weekend trip.
That sounds like the weekend to do it.
Castle Rock is a pretty place. You yeah. can come here and have a good time.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, thanks again for taking the time to chat with us. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes with some more Beer Blazers. Stick around. And we're back. Yeah. That yeah. was it. Oh, go ahead. You had a shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Had to do the hype man.
Oh, yeah.
The hype man move.
Kind of in the corner, just kind yep. of like, yeah. That was our interview with Jim Stinson, the head brewer here. So a lot of interesting things, and
absolutely.
Some stuff I didn't know about the brewery. And I'm looking forward to not just Rendezvous with the Rock. This is Castle Rock Day.
Yeah,
I mean, just all kinds of stuff. I need to figure out what the disc golf situation is, because you mentioned disc golf, and I'm a little bit of a fan.
Are you?
So I've got them in my car right now. We can go play around. Like, I keep them with me.
I don't know. I don't know that I care about disc golf.
It's fun. It's like golf, but a little bit easier.
I feel like I'd run into way too many millennials.
You do a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you do a little bit.
All right.
The key is to find a disc golf course where you're not getting discs around your head. But anyway, so we're back. We're going to talk about a few more things. I promised I would bring up fruit. But before I do that, I kind of want to talk about the first few beers we've tried. So we've kind of started on the low IBU scale. Low on the IBU scale, and we're working our way up. So we've had their Lynx Lager, their Double Eagle Ale, Red Hawk Ale, and the Bumper Time Ale. And I got to tell you, these are all really clean, clear, crisp beers. Nothing in this first four that I didn't like. The Red Hawk Ale, I thought, with the Scottish Ale, I thought was delicious. I mean, it's got some Golding's hops. It's a 5%er, little toasted notes to it. Nice and sweet. I really enjoyed that one. It's all very good.
That lager is
the Lynx lager, their German lager.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5% ABV there.
I like that one.
And as Jim mentioned, most of their beers are right around that 5% mark. Yeah. Like you come in and you can have yourself a pint and you don't have to worry about getting out by the sheriff. So, you know, it's definitely something you want to look for there.
The Double Eagle Ale.
Man, that's
smooth.
That is smooth. That's their wheat ale. So speaking of adjuncts, they use wheat in that bad boy. 30% wheat, in fact, in order to make that one. So
if you got someone who's not quite sure on beer, that might be a good one.
Yeah, it's kind
although,
of a good.
You could drink 12 ounces of that pretty quickly.
Right. And mine went down pretty easy. That looks like it was a gold medal winner. At the GABF back in, looks like 2003. So the type on the menu is kind of small. I can't quite see it. Yes, 2003. I had to move my mic out of the way so I could read that. But you're right. It's a good sort of crossover beer. Like you're like, oh, I understand you don't like beer, but try this. It's got some nice. It's not beery. So a lot of people think of beer, they think, oh, it's bitter, or it's a watered down. That has some nice flavor. It's not bitter. It's not going to put you off if you're not a big beer fan. I think it's something you can
definitely.
It's
not overly sweet, though.
Not overly sweet.
No.
Speaking of overly sweet, though, I want to talk about fruit.
Okay.
Fruit and beer.
All right.
So you've got options when it comes to putting fruit in beer. And this is the different things you're going to see on the market, right? You can use good old fresh fruit, frozen fruit, right? Something that's been pre-canned, or you can use fruit extract. Fruit extract, I think, is becoming popular. There's a few, like, I don't know if you've noticed, so there's this trend to do grapefruit IPAs or orange IPAs. Or
Get those citrus.
Yeah, you want those citrusy notes. But the problem is, to especially with a beer you're going to boil for a long time, and I'm not saying any of the big brewers specifically do this, but it's hard to get that real orangey flavor, that real grapefruit flavor. I mean, grapefruit, you're going to get a little bit from the hops on an IPA anyway, right? But what people have started to do is they'll use extracts. And when you use an extract, you typically use it at the end of the brewing process, right? You've fermented for a couple weeks, you're ready to bottle, and you throw the extract directly into the beer that you're about to bottle.
Okay.
And so you throw the extract in, you bottle it, cap it, put
where
it in the
fridge. Where do these extracts come from?
You can buy them. I mean, it's there are people that'll make them, like a, you can get like an orange extract, and it's made from, you know, natural oranges, but it's been extracted down to this potent little syrup in a little bottle, kind of like vanilla extract that you get at the store, right? And you just dump it in, and the key is when you dump it in the bottling, you're gonna dump it in, you're gonna cap it, or you're gonna put it in your keg, right? And then you're gonna throw it in the fridge or into your cooler, right? It's called crashing the beer. You cold crash the beer. Mm-hmm. And cold crashing the beer has a couple positive effects. One, it makes the beer cold, which, you know, we all enjoy a cold beer.
It seems to be a marketing point now.
It's been cold the whole time. It's so cold you can't taste anything. Your tongue is numb. No, so you cool the beer because we like cold beer, but you also cool the beer because it stops the yeast. And when you stop the yeast, when you cold crash the yeast stops eating the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you doing the math, if you put extract in, bottle it, get it cold, that extract, that sweet sugar in that extract and that flavor, it goes right into your beer. Nothing affects it. You can have it taste like an orange IPA or whatever it is because you just put orange juice or orange syrup into your beer.
Right.
If you use extract any earlier in the process, it can get eaten up by the yeast, and you'll lose some of that fruity flavor.
You'll basically get the bitters of that fruit without the sugars.
Yes, and in some cases, and that's one of the issues. And so people that use natural fruit, and there's nothing wrong with that. Natural fruit is great, and you can use it at a couple different stages, but introduce it too early, say in the primary fermenter, you could lose some of the fruit sweetness and get the bitters off the back of it, and that's not what you want, right? You want the fruit essence. The other problem with using it in your primary fermenter, natural fruit, is it adds a lot of fermentable sugar. And especially if you're a home brewer, homebrewers brew in these little 5-gallon glass carboys.
Yeah,
you only have so much headspace, and if you're gonna chunk, you know, 8 pounds of fruit in there, you're gonna lose the headspace. And I did this once. My brew buddy, Jose, he and I tried to make a cherry wheat. And we put a bunch of cherry into the bad boy. Just a bunch of cherry. And the primary fermenter...
Like actual cherries?
Yep. So we went out and got cherries. We pasteurized them, i.e. got them really hot. And then put them in the primary fermenter. So what they say to do is not to boil them. If you're going to add them to your boil, they say wait till your flame's off and your mash is, or your wort at that point, it's only wort, is cooling. And when you get below about 180, throw the cherries in, and it should be enough to pasteurize them.
Okay.
You don't want to go too hot, because again, you'll get some of the bitterness off the fruit or whatever. So we did cherries, and it was just little chunks of cherry all in the beer, and in the fermenter they fall out. Well, we didn't have a whole lot of headspace, and for whatever reason, we were still new to brewing. We didn't use our little tube and into the water for the. We put one of the little plastic bubblers on that you get at the store, where it's basically a cork and a thing about 4 inches big. That's like a water trap, uh-huh. So air can get out, but air can't get in.
Right.
And in a day, the fermentation took over. It filled up our headspace. Little chunks of apple got into that thing, and it shot the cork off into the ceiling.
Holy cow.
And it threw apple everywhere.
Apple or cherry?
Cherry. It threw cherry everywhere. His ceiling is still missing paint from the acidity.
Really?
Of the cherry that we threw up on.
How long did it take you to find that?
It was like I think it had blown, and like the next day he went down there, okay. And he was like, and there's still like on tops of like door trim. I'm like, dude, cherry, like it's everywhere. It exploded. So you definitely want to be careful. But a lot of people are doing this this extract thing, right? So you just add the fruit flavor directly to your thing right before you bottle. Is it cheating? I don't think it's cheating, but no? it definitely gives you a fruity flavor.
Let
without
me ask you, what's unique about it?
The extract versus the fruit?
Yeah. I mean, what's unique about everyone using the same extract?
Well,
is there something you're doing with it?
No.
Am I missing something where no. You go, hey, I could say, you know, this fruit's locally sourced, it's got a certain kind of flavor to it.
Right. Absolutely. If you're just brewing and adding a little orange extract at the end, so you can call it an orange IPA, your uniqueness had to have come out in the brewing of the IPA.
Uh-huh.
Because at that point, it's, I'm going to throw, you know, if for a 5 gallon batch, it might be a few ounces. For something like this, it might be a few
like what?
Pints. The beer system here, system here, mm-hmm. For something this size, you might be throwing a bucket's worth of the stuff in. But it's no, you're not doing anything special with the extract. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, you go buy a can of whipped cream and squirt it on the cake you made. Like, the whipped cream's the whipped cream.
Right.
Right. You just gave it a little sugar at the end. And it's kind of the same in the beer. You give it a little sweetness at the end by throwing the extract in. So. Yeah, and it's there's a lot.
I'm not feeling full of craft beer.
No,
your kind of uniqueness from that kind of process. I don't know.
No,
just call me someone. I mean, you know,
you're a little jaded, a little tainted.
I don't know.
Sweet, our little stickers up in the brew house window. I'm just not noticing that it's kind of falling off. Got to get the corner. Come check this out, Rockyard. Anyway, no, you're definitely not feeling the warm and cuddly, I guess. But when you think about it. In a way, I think, and then they've been using them for years. I mean, you can look on forums, and people that have been homebrewing have been using extracts in their beer like that for a long time.
Right.
And in fact, one of the ways you can brew is you can use what's called DME. It's dry malt extract. So you actually brew your beer without actually ever having malt and mashing it. Someone else did the mashing for you and basically got the malt down to this extract powder, and you add water and then brew. You still made a beer, but you just didn't start from the closest to the source, as it were, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, nothing wrong with extracts, but in a way, when you start to think about this craft beer movement, is craft beer maybe to blame for more of that? Because it's hard to necessarily differentiate yourself by brewing another IPA. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are places that brew a phenomenal IPA,
yeah,
or a phenomenal stout, and you're like, this is great. This is the best one I've ever had.
Uh-huh.
It's differentiated from the other breweries. But when we're talking 400 breweries in Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, there's, what is it, 3 or 4 in Castle Rock? This isn't a very big town. We've got 30 in the Springs. What makes yours different from the other guy? And it's like, well, we have an orange IPA. It didn't take much work to do that, but it gave you something a little
right.
bit different.
Right. So it's kind of a freebie.
Kind of a freebie, but in the quest for differentiation, I mean, you know, as you and I have both run businesses, worked for companies, I mean, trying to do the podcast, what you're about is that differentiation. What makes you different? And a free thing that you can just chuck a little something, something into a beer and say, hey, we got an orange IPA now?
You can also put beer and margarita together and make a Lima-rita and sell that. That's not necessarily a good idea.
Not necessarily.
I mean, people buy that shit.
No, people do. Oh, God. By the way, this baseball game is tripping me out because every time they hit, it looks like they're running to third. I'm like, no, you're going the wrong way.
Stop
it. It's this backwards projector. It's like watching my kids' games. I'm like, that's third base. No, they play. My son's he loves, don't listen to this. Well, he shouldn't be. It's a beer podcast, but he plays well. Anyway, I digress. No, I mean, what was the question?
That was it.
There was a question, though?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah.
I wanted to talk about, though, you know, craft brewers who really want to go for the fruit, really want to make something unique, and not unique just in the fact that they have a fruit beer, but unique in the fact that they want to take advantage of a specific flavor. So right. Would they take specific pieces of the fruit? Would you, like, you know, for example, you know, in a cocktail, maybe you just use the rind of the lime, right? And you right. zest that,
yeah.
and you put that into a cocktail. You know, the whole extract thing, it sounds to me like, you know, you're buying frozen lemonade from the store, and then you mix it up with water, and you're like, hey, it's good. Yeah. It's the same as Kool-Aid, which is the same as real lemons, and it's not. It's not the same.
Right, and I guess if you want to, if you want a cocktail analogy, I suppose it would be probably similar to a simple syrup, right? You're going to have a cooked down sugar that's basically this really sweet syrup. There's nothing unique about that. It's just this sweet sugary thing, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to add that to a cocktail at the end to give just a little sweetness. You didn't do anything specific in that cocktail to make it sweeter. A little sugar. Right,
mm-hmm.
And so I think in some ways, you know, dumping the extract in, it's kind of like that. You're like, I want to add a little sweetness, but I also want it to be orangey. Let's dump this in there.
Right. Now, what about bringing those subtle flavors out just with the process of your grains versus adding fruit? Because well, you can bring a lemon kind of flavor to your brew.
You can.
Without using lemon.
Right. There's ways. If there's a specific malt or a hop that has a certain characteristic, sometimes you can get a grapefruity kind of a note.
Yeah, exactly.
Using
grapefruit.
Resembling grapefruit. But if you want something very specific, like you want something cherries, or you want some lemon, or you want some. I had a beer the other day. It was brewed specifically with lime, and so it was kind of like a limerita.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something like that, I mean, I don't know of a hop off the top of my head that tastes like lime. And so you have to do something, and you could use.
Well, and I'm definitely talking about more subtle flavors, right?
Yeah,
I'm not talking about making it a fruit beer, but having characteristics. You know, I go back to that wine analogy, right? It's like,
yeah.
It's all grapes at the end of the day.
It's
your process of doing it,
yes.
Where you can go,
yes.
Oh, this tastes like tobacco.
It's the process of how you
and
do
leather
it,
and
how things got done.
Yeah.
That make it the wine. Yeah. And there certainly are there's things you can do. But, you know, it's harder. I mean, the further back in the process you go, the more risk you have of either overcooking something and bringing out some bitters, or putting it in as fermentable sugar and then having it all eaten up. And that's why there's a lot of beers out there. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I'll go out and drink a beer, and they'll say, "Oh, this is our apricot ale, or this is our what's been huge lately, coconut. This is our coconut brown."
Yeah.
And a lot of those will use artificial coconut extract. You can tell the difference because you'll have a really sweet coconut taste versus like a nice stout that smells like coconut. But when you
right.
taste it, it's just a little sweet. And there's a couple in town that I've had, and a couple you're like, oh, this is just, it's like coconut's kicking me in the face. It's like, those are
right.
probably extract, right?
Yeah.
But the ones that are subtle, and they smell so much like coconut, but then you taste it and go, there's no really flavor of coconut. It's because they did it further back in the process. They got a little essence of the coconut in there without kicking you in the face with coconut.
Right.
So it just depends on what you're trying to accomplish, I guess. So anyway.
Okay. All right.
Well, we've got a few more beers to talk about here at the Rock Yard. Also, they dropped off something for us to nom on during the last segment. Oh, what?
We ordered a little food.
Got the food. What'd you end up? Is that the chimichanga?
That is the chimichanga, baby.
That thing is huge. And I just got the Yard, which is just their burger. And by the way, it looks delicious. So
uh-huh.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're going to wrap up these last five beers and wrap it up from Rock Yard. Stick around, Beer Blazers. And we're back. Eric to the J and Eric to the B hanging
there
out at the Rock Yard. Rocky Mountain adjacent.
Rockyard.
I don't know if that's the theme. So we got a little time left on Beer Blazers here, and we wanted to talk about and try through the last of these few beers. In fact, we've been talking so much, we haven't had a chance to drink them all, so we can kind of drink through and try these.
Yeah.
Next one up on the list, by the way, is the Lightning Strike Stout. You had this one already, haven't you?
Oh, wait. No. I had the red ale. Did we talk about the red ale?
The bumper? Which one?
The
Hawk Red. The Hawktail Red.
Yeah, Hawktail
Red. I talked about the Hawktail a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are my good ones.
Because I just finished that.
Yeah. Good, right? Sweet.
I love it.
Balanced sweetness, and that's been the theme. And Jim pointed out in the interview, and it's definitely bearing witness with these beers. It's a balance. They have the hop, they have the sweet, they bring it together in a way that's delicious and enjoyable. So the Lightning Strike Stout,
yeah,
dark ale. This is they use caramel and chocolate malts along with roasted malts, barley, and oats. So this should have a very roasty nose.
It does.
Probably a very really roasty does. Taste. What do you think?
I definitely get the roast, but here's the theme I'm getting from these beers: balance.
Yes,
balance,
balance, balance, balance.
So if you like a stout, but you don't want to overdo it on the bitter, you don't want to overdo it on the coffee, or this is a great stout.
It's a great stout, and not knocking like a Guinness. I like Guinness, but Guinness is rich and roasty, and there's a little bit of cream to it. This is far more balanced. I think it's smooth.
Yeah.
It's not gonna overpower you with the roast, or it's not gonna overpower you with the chocolate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's.
I think that's a fine beer. Sometimes you get a little fatigue on a stout.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard to get a pint down.
Yeah. This one, no problem. No problem. I love this stout.
Yeah, I do too. It's really really tasty. What about Dutch, the dog? This is the Marine Corps benefit beer. It's an American Pilsner, 25% flaked maize. Maize.
This one corn. Is flipping amazing.
Yeah, 5.8%.
I really like this Pils. If you, you know what? I know the traditional style that's sold in America. What would you call it? Like your Budweiser's and things.
Right. Your Bud, your Bud Light, your Coors, of course. I mean, just
they call themselves Pilsner, right?
Yeah, an American Pilsner.
Yeah. Well, this is nothing like that.
No,
this is awesome.
This has a lot of flair. That's the thing with like a Coors Light, it's watery.
Yeah.
This one has a little bit of flavor to it.
In craft beer, people get afraid of the Pilsners because of their experience.
Right.
I think. With bad beer.
Yep, and here's the thing with the Pilsner, and I've only made one in my brewing endeavors, but Pilsners are notorious for being a sort of a difficult beer to brew, and it's ironic because it's actually really simple: malt, water, mash, boil, little bit of hops. You don't want to go crazy with the hops. You go crazy with the hops, you have a too bitter of beer. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in the big bad IPAs, you can have this huge hop bitterness that hides flaws. Pilsners, you can't hide the flaw. If this Pilsner's not right, you're going to taste it.
Yeah.
You're going to taste it right away. And this has a nice...
taste skunky or something like that. You'll just get that right away. Yeah,
you'll be like this... To steal a phrase from Kiri, who's not with us today, tastes like licking wheat. Mm-hmm. No one wants that. This one, I think, is crisp. It's got a great flavor. They actually lagered this one, so I quite enjoy this.
Yeah, I think this is a fine beer for any military man.
Yeah, that's again good on a hot day.
Oh, dude, I'd drink that all day.
Yeah, I could go through some of that.
Mm-hmm.
5.8%, so it's not going to kill you. Silverback Pale Ale. This is their the beer that benefits the Mountain Gorilla Conservation Fund. Made with grains of paradise, which is spice from gorillas.
Yeah,
land.
So you get that spice. There's a little bit of spice there. You kind of taste it on the front of your tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could kind of like, wow, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that cinnamon? What? No, it's not cinnamon. Is that like cardamom? No, it's not that.
It's a rare spice, only found in the native habitat.
Yeah, but it's just makes this beer so interesting.
It's you're right, because it feels, as I first take the first sip, it feels like it's going to be really sweet. Like you get this upfront just really full-bodied, malty sweetness, but then it sort of tapers off, and it doesn't ever hit you. It's, you know, that you
just
get that.
Just kind of disappears to the back.
And then just disappears, yeah. So this one's, it's really good, but you're right, that spice, it adds that something that if you were sampling this or judging this, you'd go, what is that?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
That's part of the, you know, beer is food right there. That's one of those moments where you're like, that's just really good.
We'll move over. You know what? I'm gonna do this chili beer last.
You're gonna hold on the chili beer?
Yeah, because, you know, you always get that on your palate. I'm gonna move over to the Hop Yard IPA.
The Hop Yard IPA. That's the big bad rabbit on the thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, spoiler alert, I haven't found a lot of chili beers I like, so let's just see. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay.
But we can try the IPA. I'm good with that.
Hop Yard.
And I think 7%. And I think the name says it all. It's hoppy.
Bodacious again, hops.
Bodacious hops is what, yeah, is what they list here. But just to sort of keep that theme rolling, again, it's balanced. It has a sweetness. It's not all hops.
Yeah.
You can drink
You definitely get your hops. If you're an IPA fan,
you definitely get your hops.
Your hops are here. But the balance with a little bit of sweetness, so have you drinking a couple pints of this.
Yeah, but again, if you're not a huge hop head, you can drink this. And it's not gonna, but it's good. The hops come through, the sweetness comes through. Just it's all about the balance here. I mean, Rock Yard, I mean, if they weren't already named, I'd be like, call this place Balance Beam. I don't know, that's a dumb name for, but it's Balance Beam Brewery. Triple B's. I don't know. They're very much about the balance, and it's showing.
Hey, Olympics tie-in, Balance Beam.
Oh, Balance Beam, Olympics tie-in. That's right. I did that on purpose. Hashtag Rio's not going to happen. So.
Oh no, it's going to happen.
It's just going to, yeah. People
rain,
are
gonna, shine, or Zika. That thing's going to happen.
They're like the postal service, but with Zika virus.
They got I don't know how many billions of dollars into that thing. That's
body
happening.
Body parts washing up. Anyway. There's no body parts washing up here at Hop Yard, so you want a place to go.
I'll still be watching.
That's Zika free, and they have a big screen, so you can sit in this room and watch the Olympics backwards.
Yep.
If you really
you
want.
Know, I've watched the Olympics in a bar before. Remember I've what's seen, it? Remember 96
when that was Atlanta, right?
Yeah, that was Atlanta. Oh God, I can't remember her name. Remember she got the injury like doing the jump over the.
Oh,
over the horse.
The gymnast, and she like, she broke her ankle and then finished
and
anyway.
And then she did it anyway, and we're all sitting in the bar, and we're like, oh, she took one for the team.
She literally took one for the team. Yeah, that's taking one for the team.
Yeah, you don't expect to be into the Olympics in a bar. That was a moment where everyone was like,
I do like the Olympics. You know, we're gonna have to do an episode here about, you know, beer pairing with the Olympic events. Like, is the IPA more of a high jump beer or like a swimming? Like, I feel with the pool, you'd want like a Pilsner, right? But those guys out running the track, they look hot. So I need something that's going to cool me down.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get there. Anyway, again, Hop Yard IPA. If you like IPAs, this one's really good. It's not going to be the blow your face open bitter. But again, it's not the real bitter. So it's got a good sweet balance. It's good for hop heads. It's good for non-hop heads. It's good for beer. Let me fly. That is my onion ring. I will knock you. Okay.
Okay.
This fly is fucking. He's okay. All right. So that leaves. Oh, he's on my shit. Get away. All right.
That All right. So we got a new
Memphis.
Memphis
Gold Chili Beer.
Yeah.
Golden Ale.
Yeah, he
accentuated
just came
with aroma, flavor, roasted seasonal chilies, cocoa nibs. It's actually made with Anaheim habanero, pasilla, and fresh jalapeno and serrano yellow pepper. I mean, geez, that's a lot of pepper. 5%. Now, a lot of chili beers, it'll burn your throat. You'll get the chili flavor that burns your throat. Yeah. Where's this one coming out for you?
This is not doing that.
No?
No. You are getting a little tinge at the back of your throat after you gulp down a little.
Okay, but it's not that acid reflux tinge.
And
that
at the front of it, it's got sweetness. I can definitely taste a little bit of chocolate in there.
Are you picking up a chocolatey? A little bit. Yeah. The cocoa nibs are definitely coming through.
Yeah,
it's got just a little
that
chili
you wouldn't
burn.
Expect with something quite as light in color as this, but.
No, this again will be refreshing on a hot day. It's It's got a little of that back of the throat chili burn, but just a little, not a lot of them. A lot of them I try it. It's, it's that burn like I'm about to throw up.
The problem is they do something like, let's just use all habanero.
Right.
And this is really balanced out. Like the Anaheims are almost a green bell pepper.
Yeah.
Right. So he's taken a mix of different types of peppers and put them together. Again, balance. So
balance even with peppers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a malt. It's
and
a hop.
And it's really made this a refreshing beer.
It's a pepper.
Like, you know there's chili there, but it's not overwhelming. It's not even forward. It's just at the back of your throat.
It's on the back of your throat.
Just a little bit of heat.
And not too much on the back. Although the more I sit here and sip it, the more like, I don't know. I could do a pint of it, but more than a pint, I think it would start to wear.
With a little Mexican food, I think
it's
true. Good.
It's got your chimichanga there.
I'm going to pair this with some green chili and see what happens.
That little burn does kind of catch up with you, but no, it's good. It's one of the better chili beers I've had. In general, they just burn your throat, and I'm not a huge fan. But this isn't. I mean, certainly it's not going to be my favorite of the nine, but it's certainly good, and I could drink it on a cold day. We always say hot day, cold day. You know what? I'll just drink the beer when I want a beer. That's how I'm going to drink my beer. Because I'm a man.
There you go.
And I make my own rules.
Yeah.
I really don't. My wife makes the rules.
Yes.
And she doesn't listen to the show.
You
so
didn't
she's
have
not
to say
gonna,
that.
Well,
I
she
wouldn't
won't,
have said anything.
She won't ever hear that.
Okay.
She won't hear that. But in case it has not been, it has not been put down in perpetuity on the Beer Blazers podcast.
All right. Okay.
All right. So, nine beers in. We got some food to eat.
Uh-huh.
Let's wrap this baby up. I want to talk about your favorite beers. I want to talk about your number two beer.
Okay.
Of the nine, where are you coming down, number two?
Oh, boy.
I know. Tough choice.
This is a tough choice for me.
I think I might know what your number one is, but I'd like to know what your number two is before we get to that.
You know what? I think the number two is the Memphis Gold Chili Beer.
Memphis Gold Chili Beer.
That is a great chili beer, and you're right. There's not too many that are successful on that front.
No, it's a hard place to be good.
Yeah,
to be good. I gotta go. My number two, and this is completely out of style. This is out of character.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Dutch, the classic American Pilsner.
Uh huh.
Let me tell you why. I'm not a giant Pilsner fan. It's not my favorite style. However, I know a good Pilsner when I taste a good Pilsner, and this is a damn good Pilsner. It's clean. It has a nice flavor. Again, it's hard to hide mistakes in a Pilsner. Nothing's hiding in this Pilsner. This one's really, really good. And bonus, you come here and get a pint of this again. They're donating part of that to help military families, Marine families. So, you know, good cause on the Dutch.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
That's really good. That's really good. That's my number two. All right. Numero uno of the Rockyard. I said Rock Bottom. That's not where we are. Rockyard. The Rockyard.
I think I'm
going to
go with the Hopyard IPA. The Hopyard IPA is a fantastic example of a balanced IPA. Hop, but not too much hops. Sweetness, but not too much sweetness. I've tasted both in the same beer. This one.
It's too hoppy and too sweet.
Yeah.
You just screwed it up all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. This one is an amazing balance, and big fan.
Surprise, surprise. I have to agree with you for my number one. Again, the hop head has to come home. And so
yeah.
I love the Pilsner, but I really love the Hopyard IPA. The chili beer, it's close to the... It was close for me. But again, not because it's my favorite style, but because I think it's a well done chili beer. Also, I just want to shout out.
I almost went with the Dutch too, by the way.
The Dutch.
It's close. That Dutch is fantastic.
I got to go number one Hopyard. And let me just say, the Lightning Strike Stout, little honorable mention there.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Red Hawk Ale, the red, a little honorable mention there. Both very good. I mean,
I didn't find a bad beer.
No, I didn't find a bad beer.
At all. And not even a mediocre beer, really.
No, not even a mediocre beer. And the problem, and we've done you know, a handful of these shows, and most of the places we go have a pretty good offering. Like, no one's really had anything terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some drinkable beers. But there's still, if I go back to Pike's Peak Brewery, I'm probably going to get the Elephant Rock IPA, or mm-hmm. if they have a sour on tap, I'll probably mm-hmm. get that. if I come here, honestly, I'm hard. I think if I come here, I order a sampler. Like I just think that's where I go because I want to try all of these. Uh-huh. They're all quite good. And if I'm sitting here sipping on my Hop Yard IPA, I'm going to go, oh, but man, that stout was so good. Why didn't I get that? And so, you know, I think it's definitely a place where you can come order a sampler and really enjoy yourself. Get two. And then be careful because they got, you know, they got sheriffs out back. Anyway.
Responsibly, children.
That's right. Drink. Don't drink and drive. If you drink, don't drive. If you drive, they said this at the Renaissance Festival. It was, if you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't park. Parking leads to children. So that was the line. Anyway. Good God. Okay.
Let's close it up. How do we get these tickets?
Let's close it up. So we got the tickets. Rendezvous at the Rock. Rendezvous. It's spelled all correctly and everything. Beer Festival coming up. Again, this is going to be Saturday, August 13th from 12 to 5. VIP is at 12, the general admission. Tickets I hold in my hot little hand right here start at 1 o'clock. So you want to win, go over to our Facebook page, check out the episode. There's always a post that says this week's episode. Find the one for Rockyard. It will be pinned to the top of our Facebook profile page the week this episode is out.
Yeah.
Share it. Like it. And leave us a little comment.
Yeah.
And just it doesn't have to be anything.
Participate in the podcast.
Participate in the podcast.
Because if you participate, it shows you love us.
It shows you love us.
Which I know you do.
Shows you love us, and we know you love us. And so, little comment, just it doesn't have to, it could be hey, it could be feedback, it could be I want to go to the festival, I don't care. Or you can call us 720-23 hang on. I can never remember 720-263-0337.
That'll get you to our voicemail box.
That'll get you to a voicemail box. Leave us just a little bit, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds. Leave us a little story. Tell us where you're drinking. Tell us what you're drinking.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think. Tell us if you like it, tell us if you don't like it. You're going to have to throw your email in the voicemail because we're going
to
We'll leave it out of the episode, though. We will not play your email over the air, but we will play your comments over the air. But you leave us a little comment, toss your email in so we can put you in the drawing, and we're going to draw at random at the end of the week here to go to the Rendezvous at the Rock Beer Festival. Again, thank you very much, Rockyard, for having us and for giving us these tickets to share with you, the loyal Beer Blazer listener.
Yep.
Oh, listeners. There's probably more than one.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work for one.
Well, you know, we do this
and your grandma don't count.
Well, no, if she listens, she's a stat, so that's fine. No, we do this because we love the beer. We love talking to you people, but we want to hear back. Okay. So in order for us to hear back, you need to visit us. Visit us at beerblazers.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @beerblazers. Once again, you can call us and leave us your drunken stories, and we will use them on the air at 720-263-0337. Let us know what's going down with you. Comments, suggestions, feedback, anything that you want to throw our way, we'd be more than happy to take under consideration. And with that, we're going to wrap it up, and I hope he's had enough time.
Because I'm
throwing it to him.
Oh, God.
For a tagline. Here we go. This has been another episode of Beer Blazers.
The rent's too damn high. Outside is too damn hot. Beer Blazers, win your tickets to Rendezvous at the Rock.
There you go, baby. Rendezvous at the Rock. Come check us out. Until next time, everybody, keep your beers cold. Cheers.
Bye.